Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the first Sunday in August, and thank you for joining us this morning on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM for the Sunday morning worship service of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. Our pianist, Marina Mitchell, gathers us this morning with a prelude. Sometimes we begin worship with a call to worship, and this morning we invite the a cappella singers from our praise team to bring us into worship with this song, Christ, We Do All Adore Thee. Please pray with me. Lord, we gather this day in your name because we do adore you. So as we worship together, fill us with your Spirit that we may sing praises to your name. We may be lifted up in your word, and we may be joined together in our prayers. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. The word lament, when it's applied to an Old Testament meaning, is a collection of prayers that people would offer because they needed God to help them through a difficulty in life. Many of these prayers are collected in a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Lamentations. Here is what it says in Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In my sermon today, we'll look at the compassion of Jesus by looking through his eyes. But in 1923, Thomas Obadiah Chisholm was inspired by this same verse, for he felt it reflected his whole life in relationship to God, and he wrote the words to a poem that would become a congregational song, and it's the first song we're singing today. So please join Marina on the piano and the TPC choir as they lead us in Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
This morning, I'd like us to look at Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. This should be a familiar story in that it's what's called the feeding of the 5,000, but I want to look at it through a little bit different lens this morning. Here are the words from the text. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them to me," Jesus said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. May God bless the reading of God's word for us this day. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, now may the words that come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us this day that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Last year, a woman in France had a painting hanging over her stove for many, many years. One day she decided to sell it at an auction, and so she had someone from the auction come and look at the painting. They advised her that perhaps an art dealer should look at it first to give it a proper appraisal. The painting had been passed down through the years, and since no one ever mentioned anything about its value, she thought, "All right, I'll go ahead and have it appraised." The painting was called Mocked Christ, and it depicted Jesus being mocked by the crowds during his crucifixion. It turns out that this was an original painting by a pre-Renaissance Italian painter by the name of Cimabue. That painting that was hanging over her kitchen stove and looked nice to the eye of the homeowner was worth, in the eyes of an art collector, a mere $26.8 million. In England, a brother and sister were cleaning out their parents' home after their death, and in the attic they found an old vase that looked like it had come from somewhere in China. They looked at it and thought, "Wow, it looks pretty enough." And it had some painting on it of a very colorful looking fish. So on a whim, they decided to see how much art value it might have. It turns out that in the eyes of a museum, this vase was given by a Chinese emperor in the 1700s, and it was later auctioned off for a little over $18 million. On a personal note, several years ago, I got a letter from a bank in South St. Louis City that they were about to seal a safety deposit box under my dad's name that no one had known about. My dad had died a dozen years before that, and my mom had died 2 years after he died, and as an only child, they finally, after all those years, found me and asked me if I wanted to claim what was in the box. I was not familiar with the box at all, and once we got it opened, I saw a handful of coins minted in the United States. Some were kind of old, but to me it looked like just a handful of coins. So I took the contents to a coin shop, and to my surprise, these few coins were now worth a little over $1,000. Not quite $1 million, but still in the eyes of the coin collector, it had a much greater value than looking at them through my eyes. We tend to see the world through our eyes, and they're full of our experiences and our wisdom, and sometimes we only see part of the whole picture, and it's been said that sometimes people see only what they want to see. It's difficult to see things beyond our point of reference based on who we are and where we've been. Take, for example, a group of sixth grade refugees who were brought into a school district in Canada. The teacher was attempting to explain the difference between the fraction 1/4 and the fraction 1/2. So to illustrate her point, she held up a candy bar and broke it into half and then broke it into 1/4. And she asked the class, which would they rather have, half the candy bar or 1/4 of the candy bar? She tried to explain that 1/4 was a lot less than 1/2. But the children, as they picked the 1/4 of the candy bar. They'd rather have 1/4 than 1/2. She was very puzzled by why they picked this, until finally one child raised their hand and said, "But if you only pick 1/4, then you have some candy bar that you can give to someone else." See, from their eyes as refugees, it was better to get just 1/4 because that meant that there was something for someone else. In our reading for today, we are often quick to call this the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. We tend to look at the miracle in the story, and I've preached a few sermons on this very topic, but today I want us to notice what happened before the miracle takes place. I want us to look at the eyes of Jesus and look at what Jesus saw. In Matthew 14, verse 14, it says that Jesus looked around and saw the crowd. But the text tells us a bit more. It says he had compassion on them and he healed the sick. We know that in the days of Jesus' active ministry, the crowds kept getting larger and larger. In fact, this reading starts out with an attempt for Jesus to really get away from the crowds. But alas, they follow him. Now, part of what was going on was that the crowds had heard about Jesus being able to heal people of their physical ills, and this caused more and more people suffering from chronic health issues to follow Jesus to look for healing. The NIV translates that when Jesus looked out over the crowd, he had compassion. See, he didn't just see a crowd of people. He saw a crowd of people with needs, and he had compassion. The Greek word that's translated compassion is not an easy one to say. It's splagnadzonomi, and it literally means a pain or a turning of your bowels. In the days of Jesus, it was believed that pity came as an emotion from one's bowels. It's possible in other versions of the feeding of the 5,000 where the disciples are mentioned having a meltdown with the crowd size, it's possible that the followers of Jesus looked at this crowd and saw many problems and too many mouths to feed and too many people to get away from. But Jesus looked at the crowd not as a group of people, but as a group of people in need, and he was moved by them. And the text tells us he then engaged in the healing process for all those who needed to be healed. That's been my experience from time to time in talking with church people. Some look at those in need and wonder why they just don't find ways to help themselves. Others have said there's just too many people out there. The crowd is just too big. That's looking at the world through our eyes. I want us to look through the world through the eyes of Jesus. Looking at the world through our eyes is not the same as looking at the eyes of Jesus. Here's a true story about someone named Rachel Beckworth who saw the world through the eyes of Jesus. For her 9th birthday, instead of getting presents, she asked everyone who was going to get her a present to give a donation to an organization called Charity Water. They invest in water purification projects all around the world, and to date, they've supplied clean water to over 8 million people. Now that's a lot, but there are a lot more people in the world that need clean water. So Rachel set a goal of raising $300 for this charity, and when she got in all the gifts, she raised $220. It didn't meet her goal, but it certainly was a nice gift to help the cause that she supported. even though much more work was needed. But here's what happened. Shortly after her birthday, she was tragically killed in a car accident. And as word spread of her commitment to give her birthday present money to this charity, several celebrities joined in that effort. Will Smith, Justin Bieber, Kristen Bell, and Jessica Biel, to name a few, all contacted their friends and told them to donate money on their birthday to help the cause of Charity Water. To date, because of the work of Rachel, who had compassion and who gave just a small gift, this organization has now raised $1.3 million, which has helped build water purification locations for another 37,000 people. Rachel did not see a crowd with an impossible task. Rachel saw a great ministry opportunity, and God provided the rest. In verse 15 of our reading, we see something else. It's getting to be evening, and the disciples are getting tired of everyone and everything, and they approach Jesus to simply say, "Hey, send everybody home." Church work can have the same effect. It can be very tiring. It would be nice sometimes to send everyone home that needed something and then not worry about it until the next day. But what Jesus saw again was the need to have immediate attention brought to these individuals who could not wait. And this is when Jesus performs this miracle of feeding the 5,000. Some in the church look at the world and see it all as impossible things. There's not enough time, there's not enough money, there's not enough energy to tackle everything. But in the eyes of Jesus, the world is seen as ministry opportunities and a moment for God to shine in miraculous ways. Here's one final example. Clarissa was raised to see the world through the eyes of Jesus. She was trained as an educator, and in her first assignment, she saw only children from wealthy homes were being a chance to have an education. So she spearheaded a campaign that resulted in raising money so that all the children of the community could come and receive an education. In a neighboring town, the school system there was only for those who could pay for their children's education. And so she once again worked day and night to raise money so that all those children could go to school in that town for free. She needed a break, and so she took a job for a while working for the government. Part of what she was doing was collecting supplies to help injured soldiers on a battlefield. Others complained that this job was just too overwhelming. There were too many people being wounded in the battlefield. Clarissa then felt called to leave her job in the government office and work directly on the battlefield using these materials supplied by the government office to take care of the wounded. While others looked and saw nothing but frustration, Clarissa looked through the eyes of Jesus and saw nothing but opportunities. Looking through the eyes of Jesus, she saw these soldiers needed to recover from their medical injuries, but they also had emotional scars, and they needed to be healed from those as well. And so, again, looking through the eyes of Jesus, she began support mechanisms to listen to the individuals who were injured. And for those who couldn't read, she began to read books to them. When she noticed that supplies were starting to run low, she would organize a campaign in a nearby city to raise the needed supplies for the battlefield medical causes. When the war ended, many saw their work was done, but Clarissa, always looking at the world through the eyes of Jesus, went to two presidents of the United States to argue that there needed to be an organization in America like the one that helped the soldiers on the battlefield recover from physical and mental issues during war, but this organization needed to be there to assist individuals through any disaster that had occurred. And so, with the backing of the President of the United States, on May 21st, 1881, in her tiny apartment in Washington, D.C., she had an organizational meeting. Some would question that she wanted to accomplish too much. The crowds would be too big. The needs would be too great. The amount of work, too much. But Clarissa saw the world through the eyes of Jesus and trusted, as she had during the war years, that God would provide. And in August of that same year, she became president of the organization that she founded and developed to help those facing a variety of disasters. She was more commonly known by a shortened version of her first name, Clara, and her last name was Barton, and what she gave birth to was an organization called the American Red Cross. Her eyes saw a great need and trusted God would provide because she looked at the world through the eyes of Jesus. The question today is, how are you looking at the world? Too much to do, not enough time, no energy, too overwhelming, not enough money. Why don't they help themselves? Will we really make a difference? Or will you look at the world through the eyes of Jesus? I believe when you do that, amazing and miraculous things will begin to happen. May it be so. Amen and amen. If you looked at a picture of Isaac Watts, who wrote hymns based on the Psalms, he would look a lot like another Isaac, Isaac Newton. Watts was always trying to write in his music the notion that Christ ought to be included somewhere in the Psalms. And so, taking some of the expressions from the Psalms, Watts composed our next song, reflecting on Jesus' reign over all the earth. Once again, please join Morena on the piano and our TPC choir in the hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. Thank you again for listening to our weekly radio show. We record our show each week from the sanctuary of our church building, and we broadcast every week on Sunday morning from 9 to 9:30 on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. If you'd like more information about our church, please check out our website at third-presbyterian.org. We also post by Tuesday our sanctuary worship service from the previous Sunday on our Facebook homepage. Will you join me in prayer? Holy God, help us to not only open our eyes, but help us to see through our eyes what you would see. That there is a world around us that needs a Savior. That there is a world full of people with all sorts of needs. That there is a world with a lot of work to be done. Lord, help us not just see the crowds or the numbers or the statistics, but rather help us see the people. each with their own journey and each with their own hopes and dreams. Use us as your followers that we may meet the challenges of ministry in a complicated and confusing world. Lord, give us energy, ability, wisdom, compassion, and all those things that allow us to see through the eyes of Jesus. We pray for these opportunities so that we can experience miracles happening in our lives and all around us. Bless us, each one of us, this day. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. Sometimes the work needed by God's church places us smack dab in the middle of a storm. Sometimes that storm is for someone else, and yet sometimes we're in our own storm. God gives us a vision that Christ can help us navigate through these storms and experience your marvelous miracles. So please join the TPC Praise Team as they send us out this morning with a contemporary song titled, In the Eye of the Storm. now may the blessings of God the Father, the love of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you, each one of us, this day and all days. Amen. Well, we've come to another end of our Sunday morning worship. Thank you again for participating and supporting this part of our ministry. For this week, Seth Hood was our production engineer. The TPC choir was directed by Jeff Prince, with all our piano by Morena Mitchell. We also featured the TPC praise team and the a cappella group of our praise team. Faith Prince was our production assistant, and Matt Miller did all of our post-production. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor at Third Presbyterian. We will see you all soon, and remember, stay safe out there.